to do this in part, and it serves really to break up a long reading, of course, but also because these words that we have just read and just heard and have just spoken, there are words. There are words. And these people that we encounter in the Passion reading, these are our people. They are us and we are them. The liturgy of the Christian church is unlike any other action in the entirety of the world. It is what we call sanctified action. Because what we do here today is not just some sort of reenactment. Right? In fact, the Christian people never do that. We never do reenactments. Those that say that we do don't really understand what the purpose and power of ritual truly is. The Holy Church doesn't engage in play acting. The liturgy ritually thrusts us back. And so therefore what we are doing is being thrust back to that which the ritual points to. Ritual makes it present to us today. This is the way that the Christian church has always thought about ritual. And so today we are ritually, and therefore we are really and truly becoming part of the crowd that hailed Jesus as their king with palm branches. And then later that same week, what do? They cry out for his death, just as you do. This is the power and the mystery of ritual in the Christian religion, because we are these priests. We seek and we plot to restrict and to minimize our Lord's influence and his presence in our lives. And why do we do this? For any number of reasons, but chiefly because we're worried about what other people are going to think about us. In the same way we are Judas. We are the betrayer and we are the liar. We pretend that we are outraged, scandalized even, by the seemingly wasteful oil that is poured all over Jesus. And then we later betray him with a kiss. We are the false witnesses against the Lord. We are his accusers, because what do? We blame him of all sorts of things, all sorts of evils that he did not do. Natural disasters, illness, death. In our search for praise and honor in the eyes of men, what do as well? Well, we attack his disciples as we search for fault in any and everyone except who? Ourselves. And then we seek to blend in with this sinful world that would kill its own Savior. And then, we deny that we are even Jesus' followers. And we do this with every sin that we commit. Fearing and loving the opinion of men, right? Our friends, our co-workers, our family even, more than we fear and love God. We would rather to be looked at as more informed and influenced by this culture of death than informed by the word of the Lord, who loves us and wants us to live. We are Pilate, we are Herod, we are Caiaphas, we are the temple guard, we are Annas. We are all of them. We plot, we deceive, we betray, we grow jealous and greedy with lust and fear. And maybe most appropriate to us when we are ritually embodying the events of this day, we cry out with that crowd, "Crucify him." In this, they are our brothers. In fact, we are them. This is our cry, and it is the cry of every sin that we commit. Each sin, a lash on the Savior's back. Each commandment broken, a piercing and a tearing of the Savior's flesh. even as we are also boastful Peter, headstrong Peter, claiming that even staring down death in the face, we will never deny him. We're also fearful and ashamed disciples who recognize something of our own guilt and our own complicity. And what do we ask? We ask, is it I? Right? Is it me, Lord? Is it going to be me who betrays you? Right? We're so blind by sin that we can't even see what our sins do to God. Did I cause your sorrow? Did I cause your shame? Did my seemingly small, fleeting, disordered pleasure and lust, right, my secret vanities, my constant selfishness, drive the nails into your flesh? Behold, beloved of the Lord, and by God rejoice, because Jesus enters upon Jerusalem to ascend to his throne exactly for sinners, exactly for you, exactly for me. He has come to take precisely their place. And we pray desperately that his blood be upon us and cover us and make us righteous. And that that blood be on our children, so that we who are each and every one of us Barabbas might go free. This is the work of the King for you. And this reality should bring us to our knees, and especially during Holy Week. Our King, this most holy week in all of human history, rides to wipe away every tear from your eyes. He comes to lift you up from the bottomless pit and set you with him on his throne. He rides to rescue you from the dungeons of darkness that have held you for so long and dash to pieces the chains that have bound you and made you a slave. This is what this week has always been about for the sons and daughters of God. And it should bring us to our knees in prayer, in praise, and in humiliation, and in absolute awe and thanksgiving for what he has done and continues to do for us. For the infinite and immortal Lord and God of all of the universe has come to take your place and to die for you. Beloved of Jesus, come to the services this week. Come to the services of Holy Week. Come and give your worship and ritually behold and embrace the presence of Christ, because he's given all of himself for you. So give yourself to him. In the name of Jesus, amen.